Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of AirVenture Oshkosh 2019. And we are up here on the announcer stand, and you hear a little bit of noise behind us. That's because the UPS 747 just landed a moment ago, and they still have their APU running just to make things a little difficult this morning. So that's the noise you hear in the background, but we'll power through because this is Oshkosh. I'd like to welcome our first two guests, Steve and Nick Crouches, father and son. And they have a very unique airplane that they've brought to AirVenture. It's a P-51H model Mustang. Most of us are familiar with the D model, but this is the H. And we'll talk about the specifics of the airplane and how you came to be custodians of the aircraft in a moment. But, Steve, how did you get into aviation?
I got in aviation following my father. He started out with Pan American with the flying boats at Treasure Island on the 314 Clipper Boeings. And after that, he got his license and started his own business out of Hayward, California, buying aircraft and reselling them. And the business stayed in for like 67 years now, so it's still going. And he taught me how to fly, and I did the same thing with Nicholas, my son here. I taught him how to fly, and it's just been a third generation for him. And my path led me to being a captain of American Airlines.
All right. And Nick, what about you?
Same things. Going to the airport all the time as a little kid and go work on airplanes, clean them and wash them, go sit them and spit at the windshield, make airplane noises.
So with the P-51, obviously you don't start out with a P-51 Mustang. Right. What was your progression of aircraft to make it to the Mustang?
My progression probably started with the Ronica Champ, I guess, first. It happened to be on floats. And worked from there in 150, a lot of bonanza time, because that was my dad's favorite airplane. It was kind of a staple of his business, buying them and repairing them and selling them. And so everywhere we went was always in a bonanza, so I was always in the right seat. I couldn't even see with a dash. I had to fly in the instruments. I was so young. But so from the Bonanza and the Citabria and PT-22, and from the PT-22, I did get, well, three bounces in a T6 before I started flying a Mustang.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty quick transition. Yeah, although the 22 is a relatively difficult airplane to land.
Yeah,
it is. It's just like a Mustang.
It has the same feel as the Mustang, believe it or not, because it's laminar flow wing. The ailerons are heavy. The controls are heavy, and it gives you the same feel in the pattern as the Mustang does. You know, it doesn't go as fast as a Mustang, but it's still on, you know, final base to final. You're going 90 miles an hour, and it's not like a Cub or anything else that you can just pull the power back off and just let it float into the ground. You can fly it all the way to the ground.
Wow. And Nick, what was your solo airplane?
I sold a Cherokee 180, okay. So nothing too exciting. And then Citabria after that, and Ryan PT-22.
Okay, so you got 22 time as well?
Yep, we still have the same airplane.
Okay. All right. So what else is in your hangar? You got the 22 and the Mustang? And,
I inherited the airplanes from my dad. He had a pretty good collection. And we still have the Champ. It needs to be restored, but we have a Cub, a Culver Cadet, looks like the one that's parked outside over here to the right. The PT-22, our Bonanza still, that was my dad's, the Citabria.
Republic CB.
Republic CB, wow. And Mustang. And a Pinojet, TT-1 Pinojet, which was the first Navy jet training.
Sure.
Primary jet training.
Quite a stable of aircraft. Now, with the P-51, the H model, was there a particular reason for that? I mean, were you looking for an H or just looking for a Mustang?
Well, my dad started buying Mustang surplus from McCullen Field. He put 26 at one time, and several of them here on the field that he owned back from the 50s. And so he had those were all D models. And the Air National Guard at Hayward, it's where he was based, had the D models for at the guard unit. And one day, he saw these Mustangs take off, and the H model weighs 1,600 pounds lighter than the D model and with more horsepower. And they took off in like 800 feet, and they're just going basically almost straight up. So my dad jumped in his truck. He was racing across the field. The air guard goes, "What did you do with the Mustangs?" And they go, "Oh, these are the new H model Mustangs." And he goes, "Oh my God, I got to have one." So that's where he started his pursuit to get the H model Mustang from that point. And everywhere he went in Southern California, there's a lot of places where you could buy surplus parts. And he started buying up all the H parts he could, but you couldn't find a full airframe. And one came up in the surplus pamphlets, and older people are probably familiar with them. I think they still have them today. And he was going through it, and there's a picture of an H model. And it wasn't complete. But he bid on it, and he knew that the aluminum scrappers knew how much they can get for it.
Right.
So he always bid a little bit more than them to make it not worth them getting for scrapping, because he lost out on a bunch of Mustangs in McCullen that way.
Sure.
That he outbid by scrappers, and they scrapped a bunch of them that way. So he ended up getting the airplane and back in 1960 and put it in our shop in our house, and I was only, well, I was not even born in 1960 yet. But I used to watch my dad on a little bench he made, so I can always watch him. And if he needed something down the fuselage, I'd call down the fuselage or run cables or wires down the fuselage. And so he got a fine in 67, and it's been fine ever since. And about 15 years ago, I went through the whole airplane, firewall forward, all everything, all done, redone, engine, the propeller, and then all the rubber hoses and such and hydraulic actuators. I pulled those all out and restored those again. But the paint and everything else is all the way my dad put it.
Wow. So it truly is a family airplane.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So it's getting second generation. You're hoping it'll make it to the third generation?
I'm the third generation to fly it.
Yeah, he's third generation flying. And it's you know, I say I'm owner-pilot, but it's a family airplane. Right. Always will be. Yeah. And hopefully we'll continue in the family for many more years.
So we're talking with Steve and Nick Couches. They have the family airplane, the P-51H model Mustang. And it's a relatively rare variant of the Mustang. There are about 550 or so that were made, right. All in Inglewood, California. But what makes the H model different? I've heard people say, oh, it's a Mustang with a taller tail. But there's much more to that story than just a different
completely
tail.
Different airplane.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's not one interchangeable part between a D model and the H model. Like I said, it weighs about 1,600 pounds lighter. They just went through it, and the cowling's different. The landing gear's different. Wherever they can find a way to reduce weight, they did. And the airfoil's different. The fuselage is longer. The tail is taller. Everyone always says that's how you recognize it, by the tall tail. But there's Cavalier airplanes out there that copied it.
Right.
And it's just a performance with it. They built 555 of them. That's the only example flying, and there's only about seven airframes left in the world. So it's quite unique, and it's a real pleasure to fly.
So it came out, it was in design and production in, I believe, 1943, and eventually was manufactured very late in World War II. A few saw action over in the Pacific, but for the most part, it was in an attempt to reduce the weight of the P-51. To make it more efficient and better in combat.
Well, yeah, what they were trying to do is be able to outperform the Japanese Zero. Right. Because the Zero was able to more agile than the D model was, so they wanted to get something that they to dogfight better with the Zero. And that's what it does, because it's lighter, it turns really sharp, and I don't know if it would turn inside of a Zero, but that's what it was designed for. And the contract was for another 15,000, but when the war ended, they stopped production on it. And the H model was unique because they never made a prototype. The prototypes were the G and the F. And they took those and incorporated the H right into production. So they never made a prototype, but they just started production on it. And they got the 555 before the contract was canceled.
Right. And now, after World War II in Korea, the preference was to go back to the D model Mustang for the close air support that they were doing in Korea. And the H's, I just kind of got relegated to the air guard units didn't really see any action.
That's correct. Just because the support of spare parts for the D model, when the Air Force contracted to make the D model, they produced 15,000, but they produced 45,000 in parts. So for every airplane, there's three in spares. And so there's a lot of support for the airplane for continuing on into the Korean conflict.
Have you flown a D or a C model? What's the characteristic differences in flying?
I've flown a C model. It has a different wing on it. It flies a little differently than the D. And then the H model, the difference, like the C model, it lands a little faster because of the wing that's on it. But pretty much it flies very similar to the D model.
It just climbs like crazy.
Yeah. And then the H model, full of fuel, it takes off in 800 feet, and it holds the propeller-driven record still to this day of brake release at 10,000 feet in 90 seconds.
Wow.
Because that was everything about the H model. It had the Dash 9 engine with water injection, which was able to go to 90 inches on takeoff with the water injection.
Wow, amazing. And it is, the airplane is here this week.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And when we walk through the Warbird line, how are we going to know which one it is?
Which one it is? It's all silver with U.S. Air Force markings on it. There's no name on it. The tall tail.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to tell the difference. It has a smaller landing gear. It sits a little higher. Yeah. You'll walk up and go, well, it looks like a Mustang, but
it's not.
I've not seen the airplane. I'm looking forward to getting down to Warbirds to see it, but I was looking at some photos, and you're right. The tail is a little different, and it sits different on the gear, and you have that reaction of, well, that's a Mustang, but that's not a Mustang. Yeah. It's amazing. Nick, what was your transition into flying the airplane?
Just
the 22?
Yeah, I flew the Ryan PT-22, and then I volunteered for the Collings Foundation for several years, okay. And got quite a bit of time in B-17, which is surprisingly a very good tailwheel trainer. So I flew that a bit, and then PT-22, and I flew with TF a couple times, and then sold the Mustang.
Excellent. So are we going to see it in any of the air shows this week?
I guess there's a World War One on Friday, I believe.
Okay.
So we're here until Friday or Saturday morning. So.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. A long flight back to California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6 hours.
But a good flight coming in.
That was a beautiful flight yesterday. The weather was perfect and nice and cool above in the higher altitude. So it makes it really pleasant to fly an airplane when it's cool in the cockpit instead of
hot. Steve and Nick Couches, thank you for bringing your P-51H model to the show this year. We'll look forward to the Warbird show on Friday, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss on EIA Radio.